When I was a youth pastor, one of the funnest activities that I did with the youth was a treasure hunt. Literally, there would be a treasure, and I buried the treasure, an actual shovel. I dug a hole and buried the treasure and put clues all over either the campus or the city, depending on how big the event was. And the youth would go on a treasure hunt. Brother James, do you remember that? Amen. Brother James is here. He remembered that treasure hunt. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. As Christians, the focus of our lives should be a treasure hunt. We are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. But a virus introduced into the human race. The virus is passed down from generation to generation. This virus corrupts our hearts and minds so that they do not work properly. The virus passed down from generation to generation corrupts our hearts and minds so that they do not work properly. The virus is called sin. Sin causes us to malfunction. Remember the recall notice I read? I want to read it again just in case you missed it, because it focuses our passage so well. The maker of all human beings, God, is recalling all units manufactured, regardless of make or year, due to a serious defect in the primary and central component of the heart. This is due to a malfunction in the original prototype units, codenamed Adam and Eve, resulting in the reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units. This defect has been identified as subsequential internal non-morality, more commonly known as sin, as it is primarily expressed. Some of the symptoms include loss of direction, foul vocal emissions, amnesia of origin, lack of peace and joy, selfish or violent behavior, depression or confusion, fearfulness, idolatry, and rebellion. The manufacturer, God, who is neither liable nor at fault for this defect, is providing factory authorized repair and service free of charge to correct this defect. The repair technician, Jesus, has most generously offered to bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs. There is no additional fee required. The number to call for repair in all areas, PRAYER. That number again, PRAYER. Once connected, please upload your burden of sin through the repentance procedure. Next, download atonement from the repair technician Jesus into the heart component. No matter how big the sin defect is, Jesus will replace it with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Please see the operating manual, the BIBLE, Best Instructions Before Leaving Earth, for further details on the use of these fixes. Warning: continuing to operate the human being unit without correction voids any manufacturer's warranty, exposing the unit to dangers and problems too numerous to list, and will result in the human unit being permanently impounded for free emergency service, call Jesus. Danger. The human being units not responding to this recall action will have to be scrapped in the furnace. The sin defect will not be permitted to enter heaven so as to prevent contamination of that facility. Thank you for your intention, God. Christ is the answer, brothers and sisters. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts, and for the first time in our lives, we can rise above the corruption of sin and embrace the greatest treasure in the world, holiness. Trinity Baptist, we should be on a lifelong treasure hunt. And the treasure is the fruit of the Spirit. Number one in your notes. Following the Holy Spirit as He sets us free from the corruption of sin and produces in us the fruit of the Spirit should be the goal of our lives. Following the Holy Spirit as He sets us free from the corruption of sin and produces in us the fruit of the Spirit should be the goal of our lives. We're going to finish up our series, Lord willing, we will finish up our series on the fruit of the Spirit today. So for one final time, would you open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23, and stand with me as we read the Word of God. Again, this is our final sermon, Lord willing, on this series, so listen very carefully as we read this incredibly important passage of Scripture. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Verse 17, Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart, removing Satan's blinders from your eyes? Pray right now that God, that the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, would go down deep into your heart and change your life forever. Will you pray right now for the other people in this room that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for the Word of God. Pray that the Word of God would go down deep and bear fruit in their lives, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray now for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully? Show us Christ. Show us Christ. O God, reveal your glory through the preaching of your word until every heart confesses you are Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we've already covered love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. The next word is gentleness. 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 The Greek word is praotos or praotos. Praotos or gentleness, number two in your notes. Gentleness is first of all an attitude toward God. Gentleness is first of all an attitude toward God. You say, Pastor Dave, how can I be gentle toward God? That is interesting. But this Greek word praotos is first of all an attitude toward God, and your question is answered. Number three in your notes, gentleness is humble submission to the will of God. Gentleness is humble submission to the will of God. Look how this Greek word gentleness is used in James 1:21 behind me on the screen. Do you have that? James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Humility here in James 1:21 is the same Greek word as gentleness. Gentleness is first of all an attitude toward God. It is humble submission to the will of God. The opposite, listen to this, the opposite is a self-reliant hardness toward God. The opposite is a self-reliant hardness toward God. We are not to be harshly opposed to the Word of God. We are not to be harshly opposed to God's will. We are to respond to Him in the gentleness of humility. Amen? What a gift it is. What a gift of grace it is when God breaks our hard heart and we respond to Him in the gentleness of humility. I am so grateful when I respond to God that way. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? In our pride, in our selfishness, in our self-reliance, we are harshly opposed to the Word of God. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would give us gentleness toward God. Here is a definition from Bible scholar Ronald Fung. It's in your notes. Gentleness is humble submission to the will of God, which reflects itself in humility and patience toward others. Gentleness is humble submission to the will of God, which reflects itself in humility and patience toward others. Number five in your notes, since gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, it is a sign of strength, not weakness. Since gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, it is a sign of strength, not weakness. The Holy Spirit leads us to respond with patience, grace, and love when others treat us badly. And that's the strength. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power to respond with patience, grace, and love when others treat us badly. Number 6 in your notes, gentleness does not seek revenge or retaliation. Gentleness does not seek revenge or retaliation. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:5 on the screen behind me. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Next one in your notes, Jesus is gentle. Jesus is gentle. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30 on the screen behind me? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Next in your notes, a gentle spirit is precious in God's sight. A gentle spirit is precious in God's sight. Look at what Peter says to women on the screen behind me. Beautiful verse, 1 Peter 3:3-4. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Next in your notes, gentleness should be a core characteristic of a Christian. Gentleness should be a core characteristic of a Christian. Look at Colossians 3:12 behind me on the screen. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Gentleness is how we should treat one another. Look at Ephesians 4:1-2 behind me. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance to one another in love. Here's something you may have not considered. Next one in your notes. Gentleness comes from wisdom. Gentleness comes from wisdom. Look at James 3:13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. When we defend Christianity, we are to do so gently. Look at 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Next in your notes, we should deal gently with those who fall into sin. We should deal gently with those who fall into sin. Galatians 6:1 is behind me. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. I love that. Each one looking to yourself reminds us of Matthew 7, where Jesus says, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the log out of your brother's. Notice we are to go to our brother and help him remove that log, but we remove the log out of our own eye first. When we correct another brother or sister, We should do it with gentleness. The Apostle Paul gives a pastor's manual to Timothy, the pastor of Ephesus. And in his advice, he gives this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive to do his will." My brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, are you gentle? Gentleness is a core Christian value. Our Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as gentle. A gentle spirit is precious in God's sight. If you are born again this morning, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. And His agenda, the Holy Spirit's agenda in your life, is to transform you into a gentle person. Surrender to Him. Yield to Him. Follow His leading. Our final fruit of the Spirit, our final treasure, is the beautiful word self-control. Self-control. The Greek word is enkratia. Enkratia. Krat means power in Greek. Krat means power. Enkratia is power over self. It means self-control. Discipline, self-restraint. Self-control is also a core Christian value. And I'm sure with your struggles with self-control and with my struggles with self-control, we can all agree on number 12 in your notes. Self-control comes from the Holy Spirit. Number 12 in your notes. Self-control comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for their lack of self-control. Look behind me at Matthew 23, 25 and 26. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence." Same Greek word, enkratia. Actually, it's the negative form of the Greek word. "You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that outside it may become clean also." Jesus says, you must clean the inside. You must clean the heart. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and produces in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Scripture is clear that we need self-control for our sexual desires. Keep your finger in Galatians 5 and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Where Paul talks about self-control. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll look at verses 1 through 9 as it relates to self-control. "Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband." Verse 4. Do you have verse 4 there, Dave? "The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, and come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But this I say by way of concession, not of command. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this matter and another in that. I say to the unmarried and to widows that it's good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Paul talks about self-control in this passage. He says, married couples do not deprive each other sexually. Do not deprive each other so that you do not fall into temptation. Then Paul says, if an unmarried couple does not have the self-control to abstain from sex, they should get married so that they do not fall into sin. The opposite of self-control, as we saw in Matthew 23, the opposite of self-control is self-indulgence. Self-indulgence. Self-control is more than just self-restraint in sex. It is, in general, power over self. It is discipline. It is self-restraint. And as we said before, clearly we need the Holy Spirit's power to have power over self. We need the Holy Spirit's power to have power over self. The good news is, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside your heart. And His agenda is to transform you into a self-controlled person. His agenda is to transform you into a self-controlled person. So the solution is to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Yield to Him. Follow His leading. One of the most wonderful passages in the Bible is 2 Peter chapter 1. Would you turn there with me, please? 2 Peter chapter 1. If you are looking for something to do for your personal devotions this week, I recommend 2 Peter. 2 Peter. If you have something you're doing already, then go ahead and do that. But 2 Peter, especially verses 1 through 11 here, would give you a lot of great time with the Lord this week. Just pick a time in the morning or in the evening when you can get alone with God and read 2 Peter 1 through 11, perhaps even every day this week, and allow the Holy Spirit to build you up. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Isn't that a wonderful companion passage to the fruit of the Spirit? By the power of the Holy Spirit, following his leading in your life, you can add these wonderful treasures as part of your character: moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, brotherly kindness, love, perseverance. The power of the Holy Spirit can transform you into someone that overflows with those qualities. Elders must be men of self-control. Lastly, look at Titus chapter 1 with me, please. We'll be looking at this passage in our business meeting, but let's look at it now. Titus chapter 1. Verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city, as I directed you. Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious or argumentative, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. The Holy Spirit gives us victory over our passions and desires and produces in us the quality of self-control. You look at every elder at our church, every single one. Every single one of us, including and especially me, were bound to sin. We were dead in our trespasses, in sins. We were hateful, we were selfish, we were lustful, we were evil, but the Holy Spirit changed us. And if you vote for Jerry Mills today, you do so because the Holy Spirit took hold of him and poured out his grace on him. All glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, the primary goal of our lives should not be happiness. The primary goal of our lives should not be success. The primary goal of our lives should be freedom from the corruption of sin and a pursuit of the fruit of the Spirit. In your notes, number 13, the fruit of the Spirit is the treasure we should seek. The fruit of the Spirit is the treasure we should seek. Not happiness, not success, not anything else. The fruit of the Spirit is the treasure we should seek. What we should want in life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our desire in life should be the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit should be our lifelong pursuit. Is it yours? So my question this morning is, what about you? What is the goal of your life? Is it happiness? Is it relationships? Is it success? Or is the goal of your life the fruit of the Spirit? Is your desire in life to be free from immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, and carousing? Remember when I preached the beginning of this passage, I brought my trash can up here and had the pieces of, had all the list of things, and we just threw them in the trash? Is that your attitude? Is that your attitude? Do you look at the sins in the Bible and you know that they are trash in your heart, and the primary goal of your life is to get rid of them in the power of the Holy Spirit? Is that your attitude? Is the desire of your life to be free from the trash and to be filled with the treasure of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? By God's grace, we are finished with our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. But before you close your Bibles, go back to Galatians 5, and I want to just give you a few moments, just a few moments, in the silence of this sanctuary. Look over verses 19 through 23. And take a few moments to pray, asking God to make the fruit of the Spirit your desire. Heavenly Father, we come before you as Trinity Baptist Church more than the greatest programs, more than the greatest kids programs, more than the greatest worship team, more than the greatest outreaches, more than anything. What we want is to be spiritual. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you corporately. We come to you as a group. We come to you collectively. And we pray, O God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and you may be glorified in our lives and in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.